We've been talking the past few Sundays about thy will be done. We're going to continue that. In fact, we're going to wrap up the series today. So would you take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Peter? It's where we're going to be today. But before we get there, let me say to our campuses, we're glad you're with us today. Thank you for being there, whichever campus you chose to be at today. We're glad you're there. We're excited of what Love and Truth Church is doing at every community and every area. And we're thankful for every campus pastor and what they're doing. And let me just remind this to you guys at all of our campuses about your campus pastor. Don't forget them during Christmas. Bless them. Let them know you love them during this season as we are wrapping up the year. I want us to take our Bible and let's make our confession together today. And we've been doing this all year long. I don't know if we're going to do it next year, but I'm liking it pretty much. I might just keep it next year too, all right? Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same, never, 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 I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe that today? You believe the Word of God changes us? I believe it does. The Scripture is clear about that. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 has been the foundation Scripture for this entire series. We've been talking about different things. We've been talking about everything from transition to talents to tragedy. And today we're going to talk about trust. But the foundational Scripture comes out of the book of 1 Peter. So let me just read it to you. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while." Everybody say little while. Now for a little while. You say, what's a little while? Well, it could be a lifetime, right? Compared to eternity, it's a little while. Uh-oh, you didn't. I already got you nervous, don't I? For a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, at His return. What happens, and what that passage is saying, Peter's writing to us, he's saying to us, look, you're going to go through some things, you're going to experience some turmoil. Understand that there are some things in life that you just step back and say, Lord, your will be done. I don't understand why I'm going through this, but what, as long as you maintain that relationship with the Lord and you walk in faith before Him, that at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to be able to look at you and say, well done. Amen. Thou good and faithful servant. And that's what I want to hear, and I know that's what you want to hear today. Now today, take your Bible, go to the book of Matthew, where we're going to be. And I thought now that we're in the month of December, this would be a great place to go today. And I want to talk to us about trust. Let's do it this way. How many of you have ever had children? You've had children in your house, or you got nieces or nephews, little ones around you. Anybody? Only two of you. I know you're lying because I saw a bunch of you walk in with a bunch of youngins following you today, okay? Now, how many of you know that when a child is, I don't know, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, maybe even 3 years old, that you can take them and you can set them up on, you know, something high, a counter, and you can back off and you can say jump, right? And what do? They launch, man. They, right? I mean, you better be, because as soon as you say it, they're out there. Why? Because they trust you. Now, try that with a 15-year-old. Right? Because they're going to have all kind of questions. Can you catch me? Or I'm bigger than you are. Are you sure about this? You know, the other day you let me fall. You. Right? Come on. And so what we find is that the Bible says something to us that's kind of interesting. The Scripture says, unless you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And we read that saying, unless you become as a child, you can't go to heaven. That's not what it's saying. It says, unless you become as a little child, you can't enter. The word kingdom there means God's way of doing things. except you become as a little child, you're never going to enter into God's way of doing things, okay? And so how God does things is trust, and I want to show it to you in the book of Matthew, the first chapter, and let's read there beginning in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed, everybody say engaged, to Joseph before they came together. Do I need to have you say something about that? You got it? Okay. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. In other words, he was going to say, let's not do this and you go somewhere. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, we're going to talk about trust today. How many of you have ever trusted somebody and they weren't worthy of your trust? Okay? I think most, if you've lived, I don't know, a couple of months, you may have experienced that at some level. You know, you believed in somebody, you trusted in somebody. You know, they said, if you'll do this, I'll do that. And you did what you were supposed to, and they didn't come through. And so all of us, because of the negative aspect of being defeated in its times in our life and people doing us the wrong way, we have a real tendency not to trust. And it's not something that goes away over time. I think it's something, in fact, that probably gets a little bit worse with time, because the more that people abuse your trust, the less trusting that you really are. Well, one of the things that I've found in marriages is that so often something will happen and somebody will break the trust in that relationship, and what they want to do is they want to say, well, I'm sorry, and think everything's going to be back together. Come on, I'm doing good right now. All right? And what they don't understand is that trust is built up over time. Trust is built up by what you do. Trust is built up by how you do and how you respond. And when you break somebody's trust, when you tell somebody, I am going to do this, and you don't do that, then there is going to be a time in their life that they are not going to trust you. And it's understandable that they don't trust you. Amen. I can forgive you and not trust you. Do I need to go down that path today? All right, I can release, I can say I forgive you, but until you prove to me that you're trustworthy, right? And so there are some elements in trust, and trust just means that you believe in someone or something in spite of the circumstances, okay? That's what trust really is. And what we're going to see here in this story, I mean, think about this for a minute. You're engaged to a gal, or you're engaged, you know, to someone, and what you find is that you find out before you get married that she comes to you and she says, I'm talking to men for a minute, okay? And she says to you, I got something to tell you. And you say, okay, what is it you got to tell? She says, well, I got good news. Well, what's the good news? Well, the Lord showed up. Right? I mean, that's good news. An angel came to my bed and said, I mean, that's good news. The problem with it is, that's the good news. The bad news is, he said, I'm pregnant. You'd be just like Joseph. Come on, guys, don't look at me holy right now. You'd look at her and say what? Tell me that again. Let's deal with this again. See, here's where Joseph is, and here's where all of us are in this aspect of trust when it comes to our relationship with God, is that this is an incomprehensible circumstance. There's no way that you can wrap your mind around what this is, because it doesn't make sense at any level. You know, verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Mary and Joseph are engaged. She shows up pregnant, but they haven't had sex. Okay, they have not come together is what the key. Y'all just got nervous when I said sex there, I could tell. All right? But that's what's happening here. That's what's being said in this passage, is that there's been no sexual relationships, and she shows up pregnant. Now, I don't know about you. That would make me just stop and think a little bit. And I know that she said an angel showed up. But I got a little trouble with that, because in all of recorded history, for thousands of years, the only way you can have a baby, right? I'll teach y'all to take your kids to the nursery. Yeah. See, you gotta understand. Here's what we need to look at. Perplexing circumstances often take us to new depths of faith. I just think we need to understand this. Not many great things happen in comfort zones. When everything is nice and everything's wonderful, there's no challenge to you to really do something that takes faith. But it's in that moment where the circumstances turn upside down and you can't explain it and you can't rationally figure it out, that you have to say, wait a minute, I don't understand what's happening here, and I don't know what to do, and all this stuff. See, here's the deal. We all talk about how much we love God and we trust God. Here's what I've determined. We trust God's power, but we question His character. Now think about that for a minute. We say, well, if God's a good God, so what do we just say? We just question His character. How can a good God do? Come on, you know all the statements that we make. And what we're saying is, well, we believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that works within us. But then something turns upside down. Somebody shows up and says to us, this is what happens. It doesn't make sense. And in that moment, we say, I know God can. We're kind of like Mary last week we talked about. She says, I know that you can raise him to life. And if you had been here, he would not have died. And Jesus said, I'm here now. And what we say is, well, Lord, I understand that, and I know he's going to rise in the resurrection. And Jesus has to tell us, I am the resurrection and the life. I've got to understand that God's character is always good. Don't miss that, okay? The Bible says that there is no shadow of turning with God. All right, that he never, ever does anything that is evil. The Bible says that God cannot be tempted, and neither does he tempt us. All right? And so we've got to come to that place in our lives where we understand that I don't just believe God can, but I also trust his character, and even when he does. You remember the story of the three Hebrew children, okay? Let's go back to the Old Testament for a second. There are three Hebrew children, three young men who are taken into captivity, and they're serving Jehovah God. They're serving the Hebrew God of their day. And the king of that day says, you got to bow down and worship me. I'm going to build this tall monstrosity, and it's going to look like me. And when the trumpet's blowing, you bow down. Well, the three Hebrew children said, no, there's one God, and him only shall we serve. And so the trumpet sounds, everybody bows, and they're just looking around. And so the king gets all miffed to go through this three times. And so the king calls them up, and he says to them, why didn't you bow? And they said, oh, king, we're going to be quick to answer you. We don't have to worry about this for 3 days, and we don't have to go pray and fast. We want you to understand. And here's what they said. We know that our God can deliver us from the fiery furnace. But, read the scripture, but even if he doesn't, we still trust him. See, that's when you understand that his character and his power go hand in hand. And that we've got to come to that place, even when the circumstances of life don't make sense around us, that I am still not just looking for him to deliver me out of the problem, but I am still trusting him because I know that he is God and there is no shadow of turning with him. Amen. The second part is found in verse 19. And it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Here's the second thing, and we all do this, is that we come up with natural solutions. I help God out all the time. Am I the only one? I mean, I'm always saying, now, God, I know you can, but if you hadn't got it figured out, here's a plan. I mean, I'm the guy who always goes in. I'm always thinking 3 weeks ahead. And so I never go into a meeting that I don't have three or four plans, okay? Well, we can do this, or we can do this, or we can do this. And sometimes God says, I don't like any of your plans. See, here's what I've found that we do, is that man is always trying to help God out. Right? It's kind of like, I know you're busy running the universe and you got all that stuff going on up there. If you could just do this that I've already planned out, you'd be all right. Just go ahead and do what I've said. And what we don't understand is that God does not dwell and live in the circumstances that you and I live in. That God lives, the Bible says, in all of eternity. Okay? And so humanity has a short-term vision. Amen? Our vision is real limited. Our vision is seconds and minutes and days and months and years. God shows up in the form of Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees are all upset one day about some things Jesus has said, and they're saying, oh, well, if you understood, we've been serving God for generations. And Jesus just looks at them, and he totally messes them up, all right? Here's what he says. He said, you're talking about Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. What does that mean? That means I am. Before Abraham, before the Garden of Eden, before time began, I am. And they got so offended, they're ready to kill him because now he is claiming to be God, they said. Well, he wasn't claiming to be God, he was God. Right? And so in the process of life, what we have to understand is that in these moments, we have this short-term look at things, and yet God is looking from the perspective of eternity. And let me say this to you, God is looking from the perspective of completion. Don't miss it. All right? You're looking at the perspective of a work in progress. And when you see a work in progress, most of the time it's messy. Amen. I've heard a statement I probably shouldn't say, but I'm going to anyway. They say you should never see how sausage is made. Right? Now, I want to eat sausage. Now, some of you are more spiritual now. I want to eat sausage, but I want to see how it's made. Why? Because the process is kind of messy. See, God is not looking at the process. God's looking at the completed work. In fact, the scripture says before God ever begins a thing, he goes to the end and completes it, and then he starts it. So whatever the mess is in your life, whatever the circumstances, whatever it is, you're going, Lord, I don't know if I can trust you. God says you can. You can trust me. You have to be willing, though, in this moment to say, Lord, your will be done. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't know why my body is racked in pain. I don't understand why I'm going through this difficulty. You say, well, Pastor, don't you believe God's a healer? With all of my heart. Don't you believe God can mend families together? With all of my heart. Don't you believe God can provide financially with everything within me? I believe that. But I also know that there are times in our life where the answer that we want is not the answer that we get. And so I've got to come in that moment and say, God, I trust you in the middle of what I don't understand. That I am here in this moment believing in what you have said. Look in verse 20 and 21. It says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to you, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. Now, here's the third thing that happens and needs to happen to all of us, is that he got a directive from God. All right? Here's what I know. Once I get a word from God, that's all I need. Now, the problem is that we want a contract. And we want 18 lawyers to look at it. And we want to have every clause, and we want to say, okay, yeah, but what if this happens? Well, let's put an addendum in there. You do realize that that's the reason you go to buy a house. And first of all, if anybody ever read everything on that contract, and bankers and lawyers and stuff, hang with pastor for a minute. All right. No normal, let me say it that way for you. No normal human being sitting down is going to read everything in that contract. But everything is in that contract because something happened somewhere back there. And so we got to cover the eventuality it might happen again. And that's what we want God to do. We want God to give us a 40-page contract that handles all the eventualities. And God just shows up and says, come. Remember the story? Peter says, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Jesus doesn't say, hey, Pete, let me tell you now, when you step out on the water, here's what's going to happen. Your foot's going to hit the water, and it's going to become stable. Don't worry about it. It's all going to be okay. I'm going to make it. Right? That's what we want. We want the addendum at the end. We want that part where the car sales ad says you can have a car for $28 a month and you can get a brand new Mercedes SL. And then at the end of it is that part where the guy speaks so fast you think he's talking in tongues. All right? And what we want is that we want that end part for God to come in and say, here's what that means, here's how it's going to happen, here's what it's going to happen. And yet, here's all Jesus did. Come. That's where trust comes into our life. Now, how many of you have ever had a dream? Come on, how many of you have ever had a dream, you got up next morning and remembered it? You had dreams? Okay, I mean, if you're normal. Those of you at the campuses, I hope you raise your hand. If you're normal, you've had a dream. All right? Now, here's what's interesting to me. How many of you have had a dream, and maybe you thought it was a spiritual dream, but you talked yourself out of it? Here's what's interesting to me. The Bible does not say he's wide awake and an angel shows up. You okay? All he has is a dream where an angel shows up. Now, son, I want to tell you, I've had some dreams where lots of things have shown up. I've had flying saucers show up in my dream. Right? Come on, I've won the Super Bowl in my dream. I've had all kind of stuff happen in my dream. And yet, all that he gets is a dream. Hang on for a minute. And yet, he operates the rest of his days on the dream. Well, if the Lord just give me another revelation, if the Lord just have another prophet speak to me, if the Lord just wake me up, send an angel to my bedside, tap me on the head, and say, yes, you are the chosen one of God, then I would do what God said. No, no, no. Sometimes, you ready? Sometimes you have to look through the eyes of faith. It doesn't make sense in the natural. Nobody is going to believe this story. It's quite clear when you read the Gospels that from this day forward, after this baby is born, that Joseph and Mary are looked at and that Mary is considered a loose woman because she's had a baby out of wedlock. Nobody is ever going to understand that an angel came and talked to Mary. Nobody's ever going to understand that Joseph has a dream and an angel shows up. But they both live the rest of their days living with the eyes of faith. See, the problem, and the Bible says, and he got up and did it. See, here's the deal, is that so many, when you have the dream or you have the moment where God speaks to you, are you listening in that moment? And then do you have the courage to move forward? Because I talk to people all the time and they tell me such things as, Pastor, you know, back 10 years ago or back, 50 years ago or back 1,000 years ago. I really believe God spoke to me to do this. And I say, did you do it? Well, you know, it just wasn't the right time. Let me help you. When is the right time for your girlfriend to be pregnant? Y'all all right? Now, I know in our society it's... That's another sermon I'll preach on another day. But it's not convenient. It's not the right time for you to show up and say, oh, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Mary is a young girl. She's some scholars tell us she's possibly in her mid-teens. Can you imagine walking into mom and daddy and say, hey, I got some great news. See, we look at the stories of the Bible from the perspective of history, not understanding that somebody had to live it out. See, that's what verse 24 and 25 is all about. It says, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her, did not have relations with her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. See, when you don't understand what's happening around you, and yet you know that God is in it, you have to learn how to live out of trust. You have to live that place in that moment where you are not trying to figure it out. Listen, let me say this to you. Trust does not mean that there is an ignoring of the problem. Right? I'm going to mess something up here, and I don't mean to, because I've been working on something. There never is anything that is truly blind faith. I just have blind faith. No, you're just blind. Okay? Trust sees the problem, but knows Jesus is bigger. Trust says, I know what God has said. And I know that everybody else isn't going to understand. I know that God has said, I'm supposed to start this business. And everybody says, this is a dumb time to start a business. But I know that God said, do it now. Now I've got a choice to make. Am I going to live out of trust, or am I going to wait till all the circumstances get right? See, it's up to us whether or not we do that. Here's what I want to say to you. It's important to obey even when you can't see. I don't know the end result. Most of the things that God has directed me to do in my life and in my ministry didn't make sense. You're looking at me. Most of the things that I have done, most of the things that I have started, most of the avenues that God has taken me down in, when I looked at them in the natural, it did not make any sense to do it. I'll use one with you. When we started North Campus, it did not make sense. I had been in a church for 18 years. That church had grown every year for 18 years, numerically, financially, spiritually. We had never had any kind of a major issue. There had never been trouble in the church that created a ruckus in the church. We'd never seen anything like that. And then God says, go start a church in Jackson. And I said, huh? See, if we believe that God's all-powerful, and we talk about that all the time, I want to make a statement to you, and I don't want you to miss it. If we believe that God is all-powerful, then if he doesn't change the circumstances, it must mean he has a better plan. Well, I prayed that this would happen, and it didn't happen. It must mean. Uh-oh. See, that just messes with us. Because we've already got our plan. You say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, can I talk to you about a guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament? The Apostle Paul is greatly used of God, and yet the Bible says that the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Talk about trust, okay? We don't know what that is. Some people say it was bad eyesight. Some people say that it was a physical infirmity. And others think, according to Scripture, that it was all of the turmoil and all of the tribulation that he went through physically and all the beatings and scourgings. We don't know what it is. Here's what we do know. The Scripture says that he asked God three times. Now, I don't think he just said, Lord, would you take this? Lord, would you take this? Lord, would you take this? Okay. All right. Three in Scripture is an indication of from death until life. Okay. Jesus was in the tomb 3 days. Jonah was in the whale 3. It's going from. So I think that it's a process, okay? But he asked the Lord, and the Lord shows up and says to him, you ready? The Lord shows up and says to him, I'm not doing it. And he said, the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. The Scripture says, in your weakness, he is made strong. Now that doesn't, listen, until the moment that I hear God say, I'm not going to heal that, I'm not going to fix that, I'm not going to deliver that, I'm still praying. But the moment, listen to me, because some of us miss this. The moment of this circumstance that doesn't make sense to me, that I hear God, and I know what God sounds like, and I hear God say to me, my grace is sufficient for you, I'm moving on. Lord, I wanted this, but I didn't get it, but now you're going to do something even in the midst of this problem. I'm going to have to live out of trust, and I don't like it. Joseph has to live out of trust. He doesn't like it, but that's where it comes to a believer. That's where you come back and say, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I prayed for you to fix my marriage, and I believe my marriage is going to be fixed. You ready? Get ready, get ready, get ready. It may not. Well, I just believe they're coming back. We've believed a lot of things that didn't happen. That doesn't mean that God is wrong. It means our perspective is wrong. I'm trying to help us. This whole series, I've been trying to help us. Because I think one of the things that we have in the body of Christ is especially those of us who have been around Spirit-filled movement so long, is that we think if we say enough scriptures enough times, that we can change anything. You can change anything. No, you can't. The Bible's clear about that. You can't change your skin color. You can't change your height. Leper's not going to change its spots. There are some things in life that are fixed. Why? We just going to speak over and just go. No, sometimes people are going to die. Natural deaths. It's appointed unto man one to die. We talked about that last week. In our lives, we've got to come to this place where we understand that my faith and my trust has to be in God even when the circumstances make no sense. You remember the old song, On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Three lessons, let me close. Out of this story of Joseph, and I think is the story of all of our lives. Number one is the kingdom of God does not operate like we think. It's not the way you think that it is. It operates differently. You have to become as a child. You have to think differently. You have to operate differently. Number two is my life belongs to God. See, that's where a lot of us miss it, is we think our life belongs to us. I know I'm going a little long, but go with me. The Bible says that you are bought with a price and you are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't own me. And here's what I found out about something you own. You can do with it as you please. Jesus. I can't go out to your car today and start kicking it. I mean, I can, but I'm going to get in trouble. But if I want to go out to my car and kick it, it's mine. You come along and say, what are you doing? I say, I'm kicking my car. Now, I'm not saying God kicks us. That's not. But what I'm saying is you have to understand that you are the owner. And when you are the owner, you can do with it as you want. Now, we understand God's not going to do evil to us. The scripture is quite clear about that. But God is going to allow us. The scripture is quite clear. In this world, you shall have tribulation. It's part of the experience called life on this earth. And Americans are so averse to it. We don't like anything that makes us uncomfortable. And so we spend the entirety of our lives trying to never experience anything that makes us uncomfortable. And yet what I have found, it's in the uncomfortable moments of my life that I find God doing his greatest work. And so I've got to come to that place and say, Lord, my life belongs to you. Thirdly, if I'm going to see what God wants for my life, I have to obey. One more old song. Trust and obey, for there's no better way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. In all of our lives, we make a choice daily. God, why did that happen? I don't know. I've got a lot of questions. I've got a list of them. When I get to heaven, when I get my interview with God, I got a list of questions. Why did this happen? And why did that happen? And why did this other happen? And why did you let me go through this? Actually, I just think I'm going to look around and say, ooh, I made it. Thank you, Jesus. Questions, I'm okay. But right now, my mind, I got all these things that don't add up. And yet I've learned that I have to trust him. And what I've found for some of us is that the reason that we don't serve him is because it's not because we question his power. It's because we question his character. And we say, if God is good, how could he let me grow up like this? How could he let me experience that? Instead of understanding that life is full of trouble, but it's a vapor that passes. And you have a choice to make. And that choice is, will I trust him or will I trust what I can see? I've determined I'm going to trust him. Amen.